Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast on this wonderful 4th of July, of which I am celebrating my birthday by drinking coffee from my birthday mug hug. It's so sweet, given to me by a friend.
Amen. Well, I want to tell you
that this is my handsome husband, Harold, and I'm his fine wife.
And we are celebrating your birthday today, yes, as well as out of America.
Hallelujah for the
and that's
red,
so appropriate because you are a red, white, and blue patriotic baby.
I love this country because there is none like it.
And that's why July 4th is not just another holiday.
Yes, that's exactly right.
It's more than a trip to the beach, the lake, the pool, more than a picnic in the park or the backyard. It's more than ooh and ah over fireworks displays.
Oh,
well, it is fun. July 4th is about freedom.
Yes.
And liberty.
Yes.
Won and maintained through great personal sacrifice, commitment, and faith.
And prayer.
And definitely prayer.
Amen.
Well, it's just a glorious day.
It is.
You know, honey, our independence was won by those who were willing to pay the ultimate price so that we can enjoy a holiday such as this.
That's right.
So what we've asked on social media is that you have a great 4th, but take a few minutes and pray for this nation.
That is the truth.
And the leaders of this nation.
Yes, and as George Washington, our very first president, said, it is impossible to rightly govern the world without God and the Bible.
Amen. You know, we love this story about George Washington.
There are so many good ones.
There really are. We shared one on Sunday Night Live. But here's another one. During the dark days of the Revolution, when the Continental Army had experienced several severe setbacks, a farmer who lived near the battlefield approached Washington's camp unheard. Suddenly, his ears caught an earnest voice raised in agonizing prayer. On coming near, he saw it was General Washington, down on his knees in the snow, his cheeks wet with tears. He was asking God for guidance and assistance. The farmer crept away and returned home. He said to his family, it's going to be all right. We're going to win. His wife asked, why makes you think that? Well, said the farmer, I heard General Washington praying out in the woods today. Such a fervent prayer I've never heard. And God will surely hear and answer that kind of praying. And the farmer was right. It happened. Fervent prayer
and faith in God
brought the victory.
That's it.
You know, honey, you have a saying I really like.
And I say it often.
You do. Prayers that are not prayed cannot be answered. Don't think that when you pray for freedom, the freedoms we've been losing, I might add, that they'll never be restored in this country.
Romans 5, verse 20 tells us where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. And we're going to read it to you from the Message Bible. It says, but sin didn't and doesn't have a chance in competition with the aggressive forgiveness we call grace. When it's sin versus grace, grace wins hands down. But the point is this, to pray. Even if you don't feel like it, let me put it that way too. That's when you need to pray the most.
That's right.
And even when it doesn't look like you're ever going to win, we need to trust that God is greater than anything else that can come our way. And as you know me, and many of you do, Joseph is my favorite example. It didn't ever look like he was ever going to get out of the situation he was in, and yet he was taken from the prison to the palace.
Absolutely. And you know, honey, we only lose if we give up and quit.
That's right.
On July 4th, we pause to celebrate our freedom from tyranny. You know, way too many believers are living under tyranny, not from another country or government, but from the enemy of your destiny, the devil.
Galatians 5 verse 13 says, "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." In the New International Version, the word free and freedom are given the same definition as liberty. You, my brothers, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge in sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love.
We're called to be free. The truth is that you and I will never really be free until we're financially free. What's your definition of freedom or liberty? According to dictionary.com, freedom is defined as exemption from external control, interference, regulation, etc. Liberty is defined in dictionary.com as freedom from control, interference, obligation, restriction, hampering conditions. That's the kind of freedom, honey, we're celebrating today.
Amen.
Here are 13 things that you should know about why we celebrate July 4th.
Hallelujah.
Number one, Psalm 33:12. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he has chosen for his own inheritance.
Hallelujah. Number two, Patrick Henry once said, "It cannot be emphasized too strongly or too often that this great nation was founded not by religionists, but by Christians, not on religions, but on the gospel of Jesus Christ."
Wow. Great quote.
And a very strong one.
Number three, a quote from one of my favorite people. John Wayne once said, "Sure, I wave the American flag. Do you know a better flag to wave?" I could almost do it in his voice. "Sure, I wave the American flag. Do you know a better flag to wave? Sure, I love my country with all her faults. I'm not ashamed of that. Never have been, never will be."
Number four, 2 Chronicles 7:14. You should know it by heart. 2 Chronicles 7:14, because you pray it so much. "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." That should be on the lips of every Christian.
Amen.
We need healing.
Yes, we do. Number five, General Omar Bradley once said, "America today is running on the momentum of a godly ancestry. And when that momentum runs down, God help America."
That is true. The prayers we send up are for the future. And number six, Proverbs 14:34 tells us how to do our part. "Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people." That's how we do our part, by living righteously.
Number seven, separation of church and state has become confused over the years. "My Country, 'Tis of Thee," written by a Baptist minister, Samuel Francis Smith. "Pledge of Allegiance" was written in 1892 by a Baptist minister, Francis Bellamy. The words "In God We Trust" are traced to the efforts of Reverend W.R. Watkinson. 29 of the 56 signers of the Declaration of Independence had a seminary degree.
And the point of it is the separation of church and state was the, and we preach this on Sunday night, that nations in Europe, and a lot of them are not that way anymore, but nations in Europe during that time period of the revolution, when you belonged to a nation, you had to adhere to their religion, the religion, whatever the king chose.
Like the Church of England.
That's right. But when they left there and they wanted to form a new country, they said, "Our country will not have a constitution where you must adhere to the religion of this country. You have your own freedom to choose who you want to serve and how you want to serve them." That is the real definition of the separation of church and state.
Amen.
Number eight, President John Quincy Adams, really one of my favorites, if you ever do history reading, says, this is what he said, "I speak as a man of the world, to men of the world, and I say to you, search the scriptures. The Bible is the book of all others to be read at all ages and in all conditions of human life. not to be read once or twice or thrice through and then laid aside, but to be read in small portions of one or two chapters every day, and never to be intermitted unless by some overruling necessity.
Wow, great quote.
He is a great one to study. He was an amazing man.
General Douglas MacArthur once said, "History fails to record a single precedent in which nations subject to moral decay have not passed into political and economic decline. There has either been a spiritual awakening to overcome the moral lapse or a progressive deterioration leading to the ultimate national disaster."
Wow.
And we're believing for the former.
Amen.
A moral reawakening, spiritual reawakening.
Number 10, Abraham Lincoln. In June of 1863, just weeks before the Battle of Gettysburg, a college president asked Abraham Lincoln if he thought the country would survive. Abraham Lincoln replied in this way, "I do not doubt that our country will finally come through safe and undivided. But do not misunderstand me. I do not rely on the patriotism of our people, the bravery and devotion of the boys in blue, or the loyalty and skill of our generals, but the God of our fathers who raised up this country to be the refuge and asylum of the oppressed and the downtrodden of all nations will not let it perish now. I may not live to see it. I do not expect to see it, but God will bring us through safely." Wow.
Number 11. I'm going to let you do 11 because I want to do 12.
"Under God and the Pledge of Allegiance." The words "under God" were taken from Abraham Lincoln's famous Gettysburg address, that this nation under God shall have a new birth, and were added to the Pledge of Allegiance, are you ready, on June 14th, 1954.
President Dwight D. Eisenhower.
Yeah, and it says, "I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic," we are a republic, "to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all." And we might, if you ever want to hear a rendition of the Pledge of Allegiance done, you need to look up on YouTube Red Skelton.
That's amazing.
And listen to what he says about the pledge.
It's amazing.
Allegiance.
It really is. It's worth your time.
It is worth your time.
Number 12, "Only in America." Here's a humorous look at ourselves.
Oh, my.
First, "Only in America can a pizza get to your house faster than an ambulance." Second, "Only in America there are handicapped parking places in front of a skating rink." Third, "Only in America do drugstores make the sick walk all the way to the back of the store to get their prescriptions, while healthy people can buy cigarettes up front." I'm enjoying this.
I see.
Fourth, "Only in America do people order double cheeseburgers, large fries, and a Diet Coke." Fifth, "Only in America do we leave cars worth thousands of dollars in the driveway and put our junk in the garage." Sixth, "Only in America do we use answering machines to screen calls, have call waiting, so we won't miss a call from someone that we didn't want to talk to in the first place." And my favorite, seventh, "Only in America do we sell hot dogs in packages of 10 and buns in packages of 8.
They've changed some of that. The last one. Hallelujah.
Well, 13, happy birthday to America.
Yes.
And a very special happy birthday to you, my baby.
Thank you.
You know, I love both America and you with a never-ending passion. Never-ending, ever-growing passion.
There you go.
I'll say that.
We pray that all of you, after your prayers today, will have a fabulous 4th of July.
Amen.
And until tomorrow morning.
At 8:30 Eastern.
That's right.
God bless you. Happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts.
We love you. We appreciate you. God bless you. Bye-bye.